This is the Holland Assets Podcast, where we show you how to start and run your own trucking company. Ever wanted to go out on your own? Follow Chris as he goes through the highs and lows of running on his own authority.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Holland Assets Podcast. This is episode number 150. No, we are not going to set off any confetti cannons.
50 more episodes, we'll do that.
In 50 more episodes, Chris will make me clean my studio again. Yeah, I'm Craig. Over there, he's Chris.
How's it going?
Not bad. Not bad. I'm still picking confetti out of my the dark corners of my studio.
Well, good.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Decent week, yeah.
Anything interesting going on?
Yeah, there's a few things. But can I give a little non-trucking teaser and tell a story at the end?
Oh, you want to tell a story? Yeah. You're taking my job.
I'm taking your job, yeah. It's a good one. I got bit by a dog last night.
I don't know if you can see that.
Hold it up again. Oh my gosh. You did get bit.
I did get bit by a dog. So we'll talk about, I'll tell the story at the end.
Okay, wow. What a teaser. All right. For episode number 150, we're doing February 2024 financials. This is after we did, four episodes on finding loads interspersed in the last couple of months. So if anybody missed that, make sure you go back and listen to those. It's going to be very important whether you are an owner operator or you're a fleet operator, you know, whatever. It's the principles that you'll have in those episodes will stand you in good stead. So check those out. Also, make sure you go to hollandassetsllc.com for the full show notes for this episode, including the profit and loss statement, the numbers that we're going to go over. They will all be there. Motorcarrierhq.com, tools, tips, people to help you out.
About everything you need.
Everything you need. Yep. And don't forget about Holland Assets Academy. That's coming up here pretty soon. So again, announcements about that went out, and we'll put that in the show notes again for this episode. All right, Chris, any stories from the road before we get to the numbers?
Yeah, I've got a few. And they both involve Larry. Larry is a driver that's been with us for a pretty long time. And
hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry, how you doing? He's a listener too. So
Nice.
Good shout out to him. He's awesome. The first one, I'm going to talk a little bit about a receiver that we shipped to in the southern Florida area. I'm not going to call out who the receiver is because it's somebody we still do work with. I don't want to be
too antagonistic
with him. Yeah. But there was one day, and this actually happened a month or so ago. We had two drivers, Larry being one of them, delivered to the same place, same day, same time. This is one that we deliver to on a fairly regular basis. It's never a pleasant experience when you go to this one. So I just want to, you know, is this like a Miami area issue?
Oh, it's all the way down in Miami.
It's just north of Miami. Wonder if other drivers, companies have issues with places in this area, but like we regularly will have, you know, between a 6 and an 8 a.m. appointment and not get out of this place until 1400 to 1600. I think this particular time, Larry and the other driver both got out, didn't get out until around 1630.
Oh man.
And so that's just a crazy long time. So what we've kind of decided to do with this one is try to avoid the frustrations with the drivers. And so we've recently started doing a new thing where we just don't even plan on a reload that same day. We just plan on them delivering that morning. Well, however long it takes to get delivered, we pay them some layover time and then don't plan on getting a load till the next day.
So this happens with this particular receiver in the Miami area, but does it happen there with other receivers? Is that why you're curious about the area?
We don't go to other receivers in the area. This is the only receiver we go to in the Miami area. We've got a few others that we do in Florida, but not in the Miami area. And it's consistent. Like you get receivers that every once in a while this will happen to, but like almost every time these guys are like, if we get out of there by 11 with a 6 a.m. appointment, so 5 hours later, we're like,
win.
Yeah, we're dancing a happy dance.
Okay. So this gets to some of the kind of principles that you've talked about over the years. One of which, a very important one, is say what or do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Right. As a business owner, when you're doing business to business stuff like this, here you are, not naming this receiver, but the subtext here is, boy, are we frustrated?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that if you could find another equally well-paying receiver in that area to take a load, you'd rather go to them, yeah, right?
For sure.
So,
but I mean, this is a load that we run for a regular customer,
right,
on a fairly regular basis, and so like we don't want to damage the relationship with the customer, and so we're just going to kind of eat it a little bit, and,
right?
You know, we've had to regularly either drop a load because our reload appointment can't work, or we've had to reschedule things, and it just causes frustration for the driver. It causes frustration for brokers on the, or shippers on the follow on load. And so we're the last few times we've done this layover piece, and I think that works better, but it's obviously, it's not an ideal situation for us.
Right.
You know, cause the truck has to essentially sit almost a day longer than it should.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, let us know what your experiences have been in that area, and I'll be curious to hear. Let's see, what was the... There was something else that happened this week.
With Larry, just a few days ago, he's driving down the road, minding his own business, doing his own thing, and all of a sudden he kind of... he'd gotten out to do something on the truck, and the reefer tank's just gushing fuel.
The reefer tank.
He hit something. Something flew up and punctured. Like, almost.
Did he find like a sparrow inside or something?
I don't know, but like a legit. You know, I'll have to include a picture with it. But like a legit hole. You know, probably almost dime-ish sized hole.
Really?
Maybe not quite that big, half a dime size, but enough that it's like gushing diesel fuel out, and you can't plug it.
The guy with the 9mm just missed Larry.
That's almost kind of what it feels like. Like something, like somebody's doing target practice and a stray bullet goes through the reefer tank.
You know, I'm running through scenarios in my head. What could it have been? Yeah. Somebody fires that a wild shot miles away and it falls in just the right spot. It
could be something like that. Or you hit something on the road that's really not that. Because Larry's like, I didn't. And Larry's, like I said, he's a great driver. So I completely believe him. But he's like, I didn't hit anything. I don't know what happened. But I mean, you hit something smaller on the road and it just kind of flips up just right. And
or another
makes like
truck.
A pogo stick against the reefer tank. Yeah,
it
could have been a lot of different things.
We lose windshields that way, right? Yeah. So why not fuel tanks? Yeah. Boy, well, that must have been a fun repair bill.
Well, actually, it wasn't as bad as I would have thought. It was
really?
Under $1,000 and we had it repaired. Like, cause that's one of those things where the reefer, like you're out of fuel all of a sudden.
Right.
You have to shut the reefer down. Because it's like pretty close to the bottom of the tank. And so, to make a long story short, I mean, we found a place that was really close that had a fuel tank, and, he was back on the road. The reefer wasn't even shut down for more than like a couple of hours. So not long enough for
so you
it
didn't
to
lose the
heat
load.
Up or, no,
yeah. Okay.
All
well,
turned out.
Geez.
Turned out better than it could have.
Well, Larry, have a good week, buddy.
Yeah.
better than the last one, right? All right, Chris, numbers wise, let's give a little preview. How was this month? How do you feel about going into this numbers episode?
For February, it feels pretty good. I mean, it's not the ideal situation. It wasn't January, but we've been expecting that it wasn't going to be January, and it's not. March feels better than February was. And so overall, I'm actually fairly happy with how February turned out. Because you think about it, February in the trucking industry is typically, if not the lowest month of the year, very close to the low point of the year.
Right.
And so if that's the case and we did what we did in February, I'm actually pretty happy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've talked before about trend lines, right? So like you said, this may not be January numbers, but it's all about perspective. So you zoom the numbers out to 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, and look at the trend lines. And it doesn't have to be as explosive as January for you to go, you know what, we're in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, you think about how we did middle of last year. that was just horrible.
Yeah.
And considering this is February, like I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into it then. The numbers. Let's just start with the top line ones that we always do. The total miles run, where are we at?
114,044 miles, which is actually the lowest number of miles we've had in, I think, 5 months. But that's because, you know, February, it's harder to find stuff. We had a few of our drivers take a little bit longer time off. And if I want them to take time off, I mean, February is probably...
It's a good time to do it.
Yeah, when you don't want them doing it in November, December, when you're getting your best rates.
Right.
You'd rather have people take time off in February when you're getting your worst rates.
That's I love this insight into Chris as a boss. Thanksgiving, screw you. Christmas, screw you. Take it in February.
We don't take it that far.
Enjoy your Valentine's Day.
There you go. Yeah. That's way more important than Christmas and Thanksgiving.
All right. So 114. Okay. Deadhead miles.
Deadhead miles. 6,474, 5.7%. About the same
acceptable
as
range.
Yes. Acceptable range, about the same as it has been.
For a total revenue of what?
$234,532.17, which That's a pretty big drop. I mean, it's $56,426 less than last month.
Yeah, and that's more significant than just one truck sitting, right? That's a tougher month across the board.
And we actually didn't have one truck sit. We actually, just several trucks that, you know, drivers took more time off. There was, we talked about the situation in Washington last month. That was February. Jeannie sat for, I think it was a little over a week because of a repair that shouldn't have taken so long to repair. You know, it was stuff. There was several things like that just a culmination of a lot of little things.
Yeah.
Made a little bit lower mileage month.
Okay. So, rounding up, we'll call it 235K in revenue. And then the rate per mile was what?
$2.06, which isn't great, but it's not terrible either. I mean, again, and one of those things for February, it's not terrible. I mean, if you look at the numbers for, you know, I'm just kind of scrolling the rate per miles for, you know, that middle of last year when it was terrible. I mean, we were as low as $1.86,
right?
You know, and we were in that between $1.86 and just under $2 a mile for like 5 months.
Right. And that was, again, go back if you're new to the show or if you skipped some episodes. It was a tough time for hauling assets, but it did produce some really good insights. The Mickles and Muckles, the stuff that you guys did, you taking on dispatching, anything you could do to improve that situation, the work is paying off. So if anybody missed those episodes from kind of the middle of last year, don't. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. So all in, the rate per mile was 206, which, as you say, not great, but it's also not as bad as it could be.
It's also like I went in and I did I averaged our rate per mile and across the entire year last year, just out of curiosity. Mm. So I took the total revenue last year, the total miles ran. That's how I calculated this. It was $2.01 a mile. So considering in February we're 5 cents higher than our average for last year,
yeah,
I'm pretty happy.
Okay, all right. So that gives us a profit. He says, fingers crossed.
It actually did, a little tiny baby profit.
Okay, so cute.
Yes, $2,046.87.
All right. A baby profit.
You know, speaking of babies, this microphone could use a little Viagra. It's having a hard time staying up.
That means you're using it wrong, Chris. That's not the microphone's fault.
Are you sure about that?
Speaking of babies, get out of here. That particular microphone stand is, it's not the best one I've got. So, where in the world were we before Viagra
baby
microphones?
Baby profits.
Yeah, you're just going to have to hold that sucker. Okay. So, just over $2,000 in profit. It popped into my head. Now I can't let it go. Speaking of babies, when I was having kids, both my grandmothers were still alive and my wife's grandmothers were both alive. Are still. Anyway, all four of them had the same compliment to pay to our babies when they were born. And it was, oh, they're so aware. Have you heard, is this a thing?
Not that they're so cute. They're so aware.
They're so aware. they're just looking around every. Okay. Sorry. Baby prophet. I do want to know, is this a thing or is this just a weird kind of like Mountain West, Utah kind of grandmother compliment thing? So anyway,
good question.
All right, Chris, profit and loss. Let's talk about stuff that jumped out to you in the profit and loss statement. Anything that's interesting. I do have one question that's been on my mind, speaking of profit and loss, and that's around fuel. Are we going to talk about fuel at some point, or should I ask?
A little bit. So okay. we'll hit, that's actually the last thing I want to talk about.
Okay. Fuel. So where do you want to start?
Let's start with revenue. And we kind of already alluded to this. It was just a slower month. It's February, harder to find loads. And so, you know, it's harder to stack up what, when I could maybe normally find a load, that evening that, the same evening when I deliver a load, it may have gone the next day, and you add a bunch of those up across an entire month, and you know, it just reduced the number of the revenue. So it's harder to find loads, not as good a rates, drivers taking time off, slower month.
Yep.
It's February.
Right.
Expected. Nothing unexpected. So revenue was down. And then on the expense side of things, they were actually, it was pretty, it seems like I've been saying this a handful of times in the last several months, but fairly bland. There is a couple things I want to talk about. So I think, didn't we talk about the fact that Chet's taken over the books?
No, we haven't talked about that.
Okay. So Chet's taken over the books.
And Chet is?
My brother.
Right.
And he's infinitely smarter than I am.
You know, Chris, when you're starting with the bar on the ground.
Ouch. Ouch, Craig. What did I do to you?
Oh, please.
I get bit by a dog.
You went
Craig
after
hates
my,
me all of a sudden.
You went after my microphone stands, and that is unacceptable.
Game on. It's war.
Yeah, basically, you're a monster. Okay. So, all right. Moving on, though. Where were we?
Chet taking over the books.
Yes. So all right.
Chet, my brother, Chet.
He's your smart brother.
He's the smart brother. He's taking over the books. We've talked about this a lot. I'm fairly meticulous about books, but not to the level that Chet is. I mean, Chet is anal about the books.
We're going to go, OCD. Which slightly OCD. Offensive phrase do we want to use?
He is very meticulous. Less meticulous is okay, right?
There you
he's
go.
He's more even more meticulous than I am. And so he's made some adjustments to kind of how we track things and record things. So one of the biggest category differences you're going to notice is operations pay.
Mm.
And so operations pay includes Nate, Brad, and my compensation all rolled into one.
Call it back office?
Yeah, okay. Essentially.
Okay.
Administrative payroll.
Okay. So new category in the P&L to look out for. Again, yep. For those who are new or forgot, the reason I kind of hit that at the beginning of every episode, go to HollandAssetsLLC.com, is because that's where you can see these numbers. Chris posts the profit and loss statement every month on the website. So if you want to follow along, I know a lot of you are listening while you're on the road. Don't do it then. But if you want to see what we're talking about, see what these kind of broad books look like, right? We're not delving into the nitty gritty of the books, but giving the profit and loss statement. It's all there.
It is.
So you can check it out.
And the big difference with this particular one is in the past, we've been just categorizing Brad's pay or lumping it in with what the drivers have been getting paid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's really not the right way to do it. He's not a full-time driver.
Right.
And so,
well, and they're getting paid differently, right? And an administrative employee isn't getting paid per mile. So it's a different category entirely.
And across all kinds of businesses, that's really the right way to do things. Yeah. You've got your administrative folks, and then you've kind of got everybody else. And you usually separate those two.
Okay. All right. So fuel. So you mentioned fuel is something you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So fuel has kind of, it seems over the last couple of months, it's kind of been fluctuating up and down a little bit. We were 30.9% of revenue, which is kind of middle of the road of where we've been. It's not the greatest. Like Ideally, we like to see it closer to 25%, but we have in the last year seen it like 40%.
So right.
30.9 is not bad.
Well, that's what I was curious about. I wanted to ask about fuel just because driving down the road, I see the consumer prices, right, for gas and for diesel. And I've been surprised by how much it jumped in February, which is not a month when it normally jumps, right? Yeah. And so, but that's on the consumer side. And so I didn't know if that has been the same on the commercial side.
It still does. And I think, so this is another, I'm going to put a little plug in for FuelStream, you know, that we've talked about in the past. If you're not using FuelStream, you should. And part of the reason is especially when it fluctuates a lot, you'll see the, when you're getting better fuel pricing versus what you see on retail, especially when prices are going down, will stay high longer than your more favorable pricing that you get right. with what we get and with what FuelStream gets. That's going to drop faster. And so it's even more important to have that. When retail prices fluctuate this high, you know, up and down, mm-hmm. Typically what we get with FuelStream is going to be smaller fluctuations.
Right.
The highs aren't as high, the lows go down faster. And so you want to, you know, fuel, like it's a lot better to use something right. like FuelStream.
So yeah, for those who missed it, FuelStream, if you're whatever platform you're listening on, it could be, you know, Spotify or Apple or Pocket Cast or whatever. There should be a search button. And so if you go into Holland Assets and you search FuelStream, is it one word, right?
Yep.
Yeah, search FuelStream. And it's in the title of one of the episodes where we talked about this product that you guys launched.
And I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes for this episode as well, just to link to it so that people can find it if they want to.
Yeah, sounds good. So definitely take advantage of that. Again, whether you're a one-man band or if you've got a small or a large fleet, it's going to help you out.
Yeah, fuel is one of your two biggest expenses.
Right.
You know, payroll and fuel.
So right.
Anything you can do to save your biggest expense, it adds up.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, any other highlights? Anything else you want to pull out from the P&L or
that's
whatever?
About it.
Oh,
other than my story.
Means. Yeah. I got to hear about this.
Are we going to do the story now?
I want to hear it.
Okay. So it's not as bad as it sounds.
Is it as bad as it looks?
Well, kind of yes, no. So, I kind of help with a youth group in my neighborhood.
Sure.
And we took the youth group to the sheriff's office.
Okay.
Tour.
For a canine demonstration.
Well, it was a little bit of everything. It was a sheriff's office, search and rescue. So we got to see their drones and how they use their drones, which mm-hmm. was all really cool. And yes, one of the pieces was they brought out their police dog and they decided, hey, Chris, let's put you in the bite suit.
Oh, which only went partway up your arm.
Well, this was through the bite suit.
No way.
It was through the bite suit.
I've got
video of it, and it's probably pretty easy for you to, I'll send it to you so you can maybe add on to the end of this. We'll do some social with it on
oh
it too.
Oh my gosh.
Of me getting, he came at me twice. It was pretty cool. He did three demonstrations. He did one where, just like I was being defiant and he sucked the dog. What do you, sick him?
Sick
the dog on me.
Let's not go down that other road, dear Lord.
This, are we going to have to put an E on this podcast episode?
I will say, anybody who's not watching on YouTube, you probably should, because there are a lot of red faces and bite marks and apparently video at the end that you're going to get on YouTube.
Yeah, so he did that, sicked the dog on me from not very far away.
I'm sorry, all I can hear is sucked now. This is awful. This is the worst thing that's ever happened on this whole show. Okay.
So he did that, and then he did another one where he started with the dog a little further away and sicked the dog on me again, but then called him off before he got to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Those dogs are so well-trained.
It's unbelievable. Crazy. And this was like, he's 85-pound dog. Like he's
German Shepherd or something
German
else?
German Shepherd. Is it Malinese? He's a mix
okay.
of German Shepherd and the one that starts with an M. That's really common with
people. Okay.
I can't remember. So he did that one. And then the third one he did, and this is where this one came in. So the first one, you can see a little bit of kind of scarring and bruising.
Yeah.
On my forearm. That was from the first one. But then the second one, he sat the dog probably, I don't know, 10 feet away from us. And then he came like he was searching me. And then I was supposed to feign an attack on him. And so then as soon as I go to attack on his attack his buddy, like he got really pissed at that point. And that's where this one came in.
Okay, lift it up one more time by your head. Oh my gosh, that is brutal.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Like I've always kind of wondered what it was like. I'm like, it can't be that bad. A dog getting like after going through that and feeling what it was like through the bite suit.
They break bones, don't they?
They like, can. Yeah.
When he's pursuing suspects.
One of the things he was talking about is don't put your hand in the fist because the bite suit only came up to my wrist.
Oh.
And he's like, if he gets to your hand and it's in a fist, it'll break bones.
Whoa.
He says if it's out straight, you're less likely to have a broken bone. Luckily, I didn't get to that.
When you got there and he says, okay, we're going to do the demonstration with the dog, was there a, here, sign this moment?
No, which surprised me. Like, I didn't even know that was going to happen. So, like, one, I was surprised they even did it. There was no release sign, which I'm not going to do anything. I'm kind of crazy. I mean, that's not necessarily that it was on my bucket list, but if I knew it was on my bucket list, that would be something I'd put on my bucket list.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty cool.
Okay. So this, of course, raises other questions like, have you ever been tased?
I have not. That's something I would be tased.
You would do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever tested Kevlar?
With a bullet? No.
Yeah. Okay. What have you done Kevlar with?
Well, I mean, I wear them all the time in the military.
Well, sure. So. That's not testing.
No. But I mean, with you know, you've got body armor, Kevlar helmet.
Right.
And then you've got these ceramic plates too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they you can tell that those things will take a beating.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's quite an adventure. I don't want to be attacked by a duck.
I have done gas chambers a bunch of times.
It's not something you want to admit, gas. Chris. You don't want to celebrate your gas chamber experiences.
Yeah, those are snot running down your nose and.
Oof, yeah. That sounds awful. I will have none of that. Thank you. All right. Yeah. No, I'm a comfortable content creator, and I don't go in for these sorts of things.
Those videos are content.
I suppose that's true. That's you. You make the content. I'll post it. How's that? All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. This was February 2024 financials, episode number 150. Chris, any other parting thoughts before we go?
I think that's good. We've damaged this one enough.
I'd say our reputations have taken a big enough hit. We should probably cut and run. So again, if you're watching on YouTube, stick around after the credits. There will be a little clip, I suppose. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.
See you, Craig.
Suspect, show me your hands. Unless I'm a dog, you will be bit. Final warning. Pocket, pocket.